All right, guys. So we'll get started. Thanks for being here. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm here with my peers, Kevin Lopez and Jamie Schmidtke, who are both partner sales executive for North America. We're all part of the Black Belt team, and I have a special guest with us today that I'll be introducing to you shortly. So first things first. Couple house rules. It's an open call, so everybody is welcome to join. So customers, partners, we have a few Microsoft employees here as well. So because of that, it's all the material that's going to be discussed here is public material. So no NDA information is to be discussed here. So please don't ask these questions on IM, and reach out to your account teams if you do want to discuss some of that stuff. So feel free to use the IM window for questions as we go. If I'm not talking, I'm going to be trying to answer, and if not, my colleagues are gonna help along the way. And after that, at the end, we'll open up the mics for your questions. But so that session is recorded. So if you miss it, if you want to forward it to a colleague, it's going to be posted at ak.ms/Azure Networking Fridays, which is really a blog post in which you have the link for the channel line page where it's really hosted. So you'll get to access that. We should publish this early next week. So the agenda for today, we'll go through 0 to 60 kind of Azure networking. So we'll walk through shortly at a high level of what it is that we do in Azure when it comes to networking. And our partner spotlight this week is F5, who is joining us. And there's Greg Coward and Tim also from the team who's there. And we have invited this week Telmo Sampayo from our Azure CAT team, who is a principal program manager and who's going to be walking us through advanced scenarios. And at the end, as I said, we'll have an open Q&A. So the Azure services. So you guys might have seen this slide already if you've come to other sessions or if you work with your account teams. There's a lot of stuff in Azure. We're obviously not going to be covering all of this. But I want to draw your attention to what's on the bottom of the slide, which is the Azure networking piece, where there's, you know, virtual networks, there's load balancers, a DNS, Express Route Traffic Manager, and so on. We're not going to be talking about all of this in details, but we'll overview some of these things. So I like talking about the big picture when it comes to networking. All right. So in Azure, you have your virtual networks. You have your virtual machines that are running in these virtual networks. You can also have other platform services, but we're focusing on this slide. It's more into what virtual networking is. So when we're talking about that, we're saying to our customers, you guys bring your own network. Okay, so you get to choose the IPs that you're going to be using in these clouds. We don't care what you use. Okay, normally you would probably have private IPs, but you could have public IPs if you want to. And you also control how you segment these IPs and how the traffic flows. All right, so you can have things like user-defined routes to force traffic to go through a specific machine when it's destined to go elsewhere. That's what enable advanced scenarios with guys like F5. All right, and we can also control the traffic flow using these routes and also using security groups. And these are things that look a little bit like the ACLs in the physical networking world. So how do you connect to these clouds? Well, your users would typically connect over the internet, whereas they could maybe access public IPs, public endpoints that you've configured. And these public endpoints could be accessed by your users, by some of their business apps, by mobile phones. And this could be, you know, directed at dynamic public IPs, static public IPs. This could go through a load balancer. You know, you could require DNS services from us. We offer traffic management that are based, you know, essentially DNS-based load balancing, and all of these public points are protected by our DDoS capabilities, protection capabilities. We have huge capabilities to be able to absorb these attacks and shun them as they go. And the other way that you can access our network is with back-end connectivity. So this back-end connectivity is really three ways that you can connect to it. So the first and simplest way is the point-to-site VPN. So point-to-site VPN is, I'm sure many of you guys probably use VPNs to access your corporate environment when you're not working necessarily on-premise, right? So it's a very similar thing. You actually install a VPN client on your workstation, and that workstation connects to Azure, to your gateway, inside of your virtual network. It's not a super scalable solution. It's primarily targeted at developers who want to access those networks quite simply without necessarily working with the IT department to enable that. Then the next step up is using site-to-site VPNs, right, where you would connect your premises to Azure using a VPN. So you would use this in cases where you might need bidirectional connectivity. You might have an application server in Azure that needs to query or talk to a database server that's in the back end on your premises. So you can enable that with site-to-site VPN. But you can also enable that with ExpressRoute, right, which is the next logical step. And ExpressRoute has multiple different options, but essentially it allows you to go at much, much, much higher speeds than you could achieve over a VPN. All right, so you can go up to 10 gigabits per second, as we'll see a little bit later. So if we're talking about VPN and we dig a little bit deeper into that, there's some stuff that we can do now with secure VPN transit. So what does that mean? Well, that means that you would use protocols like BGP from your on-premises to your VNet and maybe connect your VNets together to be able to have connectivity from different IPs or different, you know, you could have the premises that you see, premises 4 on the left. You can go to the VNet 1 through VNet 2. But if for some reason the BGP tunnel between VNet 2 and VNet 1 is 1, you could go through VNet 3, and that'll work equally. All right, so we're enabling that. And also path diversity, where you would have your on-premises 5, for example, that would have two different ISPs, will allow you to connect to those VPNs. Okay, so those VPN gateways. So you would have these VPN gateways that have multiple on-premise sites that are using BGP to connect to it, such that when you lose one, you could actually fail over to the other. But that failover would actually take a few seconds, because the VPN gateway you see on your left is actually an active standby scenario where we have two gateways that are running in Azure, but really there's one gateway that is passive, so that when the primary one fails, the other one takes over, but that might take a few seconds. So that's why we've come up with that active scenario where you could have four tunnels running simultaneously. So that's going a little bit into the deep things of VPNs. And then there's ExpressRoute, which we talked about, right? So with ExpressRoute, we have 35 locations globally. So these are locations that you connect to, and there's we have to not confuse two things, right? There's the Azure regions that you will connect to, but you connect to these Azure regions through ExpressRoute at these locations. So an ExpressRoute location is not an Azure region. We're trying to put them close together, but when you connect to one ExpressRoute location, you can write our backbone, our global backbone, and get to wherever you need to go. So we have the commercial cloud that we shown in the last slide, plus we have national clouds. Right, so if you need to deploy applications that are local in China in Azure, well, we have a solution for that. Same goes for Germany or in the U.S., where there's the GovCloud network. Can we have an active VPN connection to Azure? And the answer to that is yes, we can absolutely do that. So there is a global growing ecosystem, partner ecosystem for connecting you guys to ExpressRoute. So if you don't even see your partner there, that doesn't mean that you can't connect. All these guys can bring you to a co-location facility where from there, all these guys and guys that are not listed there, or the guys that you work with that are IP network provider, they can all connect you to those places. What VPN client are supported? Windows built-in? I certainly know that the Windows built-in client, when you create that site-to-site, point-to-site VPN, you can download a parameters to connect. I haven't implemented myself. If guys on the IM window have done, if you don't mind answering that, I'm not 100% sure there. So, and we like to talk about the virtual data center, because there's new scenarios, new capabilities that allow that. So before that, you used to have line of business one, which might, you know, work on some things and then go to IT and see, okay, guys, I need to put this in Azure. And then IT might say, all right, so you're going to be putting a set of firewalls, maybe a set of Active Directory controllers, and maybe a set of other things, right? And then line of business two, the next week, might go to see them and say, okay, I have this similar need. And these guys are going to say, all right, you need to put a set of firewalls and you need to put a set of Active Directory controllers. And you know, you get the idea. And these guys go and go. And so you get multiple things that are actually duplicated or triplicated. And then you got the rogue guy on the right that just doesn't listen and does his stuff, right? So we've come up with this VNet peering that we've talked a little bit about in other sessions, which is actually the key that enables that to actually scale, where you could have one hub and spoke topology, for example, where you would have the centralized resources in the hubs in the hub VNet, and those resources can include the gateway that connects to your on-premise, and that could be a site-to-site VPN gateway, as well as an express route gateway, and you can have the spoke VNets, like the one on the bottom left, for example, that is able to go and use and leverage that resource that you have in the hub VNet, that's the gateway, to allow it to go on-premise. And you could decide that only that VNet on the bottom left is able to use that express route gateway to go back on-premise and not the one on the right. Right? So think of VNet peering as a larger VNet that has more bandwidth than if you had separate VNets connected together through either site-to-site VPNs or through an express route circuit. So there's essentially no caps on speed when you're going from VNet A to VNet B. These have to be in the same regions. That's why it can be that fast. And it's also enabled across subscription, and it works from classic to ARM VNets, for those of you guys who are using classic VNets. So obviously these things enable a whole bunch of things. With the virtual appliance ecosystem, we're lucky and happy to have F5 with us today, but we can work with a whole bunch of these guys. So as you guys work through that, and as you guys are talking and thinking about how will I network with Microsoft, how will I connect my on-premises stuff to Microsoft, you will probably need at some point to talk to these guys if you want to go the express route way, or if you want to, you know, build out some complicated stuff, you will probably need to talk to the network virtual appliances ecosystem, and we have F5 with us, as I said, but there's other guys out there, and I've put a summary list, and this will be all posted on aka.ms/Azure Networking Fridays, and it will be available to you guys. We're delighted to have Greg and Tim from F5 with us today. So guys, if you want to get off the mute and take over a presenter, that would be Greg. Can you hear us?
Yeah, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim. And who's going to be presenting? Is it? I think it's you, Greg, or Tim? Okay. So the audio is a little bit strange there. So I think I'll mute one of you guys. Greg, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me? Okay.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I think it was Tim's phone. So, so Greg, please feel free to take it away.
Great, thank you, Bert.
You're welcome.
So, hello, everybody. My name is Greg Coward. I'm a solution architect with F5 Networks. I'm in our business development group, and I spend basically the majority of my time working on integrating F5 solutions with Microsoft's products and services. As well with me is Tim Dorsch. Tim Dorsch is on our sales side. Tim would normally say hello and everything. Of course, he's in the sales side, so he likes to do that. But I'll go ahead and take care of it for him. So once again, we are F5. We spend a majority of our time, as I mentioned, working with F5 Microsoft products. Most of us are former Microsoft people, such as myself. And I spend the vast majority of my time anymore, frankly, working in Azure and integrating F5 solutions with Azure. So hopefully everybody has an understanding, or at least has heard of F5 before. And what I'll kind of do to start with is I'm going to go over just a few slides, just kind of talking about what we offer. Once again, I'm not on the sales side, so you're lucky for that. I'm an engineer by trade. So I'm going to spend a little time just talking techie about what we can do, our various services. And then I'll finish up real quick with the demo of actually the Big IP in action up in Azure. So with that said, we'll go through it. If you have questions, by all means, shoot them through the IM. I'll try to get them. If someone wants to bring them up, that's great as well. And they can certainly answer questions afterwards. So with that said, here we go. Dive right into it. So once again, we are F5. We are an application delivery controller company. We used to be primarily known as a load balancer, a hardware load balancer. I can say that without boasting that we're probably the number one hardware vendor in our space, in the load balancing and ADC space. And a lot of our customers, a lot of our partners really think of F5 as a load balancer. It's kind of a thing where you're guilty with your own success. In the sense that, yes, we do load balancing, we do a great job of it, but we do so much more as well. So today we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, just kind of cover the various services that we have that are available, of course, on-premise, as well as up in Azure and other public clouds for that matter. So let's start with, here we go. So this is the big IP in Azure. Once again, historically a load balancing company, but we offer many other services. And kind of just a highlight of what we offer up in Azure here is things like global server load balancing. This is our GeoDNS server, so this is essentially load balancing data centers, load balancing clouds. In addition to that, we offer things like remote access, pre-authentication, single sign-on, various flavors of that, multi-factor authentication, things like that. We'll actually take a look at that in action. We are a federated or a SAML 2.0 federated supported device. In other words, we can basically provide the IDP or SP services for SAML 2.0. We'll actually see that in action with Office 365 here in a second. As well as coming on board is OAuth support. So in our next release, we'll actually be supporting OAuth as well. So we can be that endpoint for integrating you into Azure and Office 365 into various other third-party services as well. You can integrate them all from one device. In addition to that, of course, we are a web application firewall, so we are up in Azure. In the Azure Security Center, our WAF solution is, as well as available just in the marketplace. We are a layer 3, layer 4 network firewall, and of course we do layer 7 load balancing. Once again, that's our historical space. And the cool thing about this is we offer all these different services from one device. So you'll see this in action here. So really what our goal is you basically have your applications, whether they're hosted up in Azure, on-premise, in another site, in other data centers, and we basically sit in front of your application and protect it and also optimize it. So we're all about, and I'll talk about the modules here in a second, we're all about performance, availability, and security. So that's what we're here for, to basically enhance your applications, enhance performance, provide obviously availability and the ability to scale out, as well as, of course, making your application very secure. So these are our various services. Let's take a look at them. So once again, Local Traffic Manager, this is our basic module, our service. This is our intelligent layer 4 through 7 load balancing. We can do things obviously like traffic optimization. In other words, we have caching, we have compression. We can do things like deep packet inspection. In other words, we can make decisions on the traffic coming in and out of your organization for your applications. We can do things like obviously host header redirects. We can do traffic redirects based upon user access, what have you. Very intelligent traffic steering. And once again, we're a full proxy architecture. So in other words, we will stop that connection at the edge. We can decrypt the SSL traffic if it's SSL. We can take a look at the traffic, make decisions based upon that data, and then we can basically pass the connections on in. So once again, a complete full proxy architecture. In addition to that, we have GTM, or now it's called DNS by F5. This is our global traffic manager, our GeoDNS. And essentially, when you're talking about load balancing, we're with LTM, our local traffic manager, we're load balancing your web servers or your applications, what have you. With GeoDNS or GTM, we're load balancing your data center. So we're essentially load balancing different applications or different copies of the application. And you'll see this in action here in a second, but basically we can load balance and cover traffic that's, once again, applications that are hosted in a hybrid deployment, very common for us right now with our customer base. So a lot of customers have application copies or data up in Azure. They might have them in another public cloud. And then of course, they might have them on-premise as well. And we can basically carry that single experience across all the locations with GeoDNS. We're going to see that once again in action here in just a couple minutes. APM, so Access Policy Manager. This is our remote access single sign-on module or service. And once again, these all can run on the same device. So this is in our security space. So this gives us things like, once again, SSL VPN, IPsec VPN tunnels. So we are one of the validated third-party vendors for providing that endpoint to the Azure Gateway for VPN services. So we can certainly take care of that for you in both routed and policy-based modes. We can do SSL VPN. We can do things like multi-factor authentication using RSA, Secure ID, Radius, Azure MFA, which we'll see here in a second. And, of course, you can provide single sign-on access. And from an end-user experience, this is really cool because we can basically give the ability for a user to sign in one time, get access to all their applications, whether they're on-premise, whether they're up in Azure, whether they're a third-party, say, a Salesforce. So we can be that single point of control, not just for your applications that are behind the big IP, but also applications that are out there in the world. It's very cool. We're going to see that here. ASM, this is our other service. So this is our Application Security Manager. This is our WAF. This is our Layer 7 Firewall, ICSA certified. We have this, as I mentioned earlier, this is available up in Azure Security Center. So if you have an application up there and you've gone to Azure Security Center monitors your application, analyzes it, and says, hey, you need to get a WAF or you should have a WAF installed, will be one of your choices there to install. And it's extremely easy to deploy. Really, honestly, probably 5 or 6 questions we're going to ask you, and we'll deploy it and have it stood up in front of your application, protect your application in a matter of probably 20 minutes. Pretty quick, very cool stuff. Once again, it's our WAF. It operates in a positive and a negative security model. In other words, we're going to look at traffic that we know is bad. We're going to block that. But we also can learn your application. So this is the cool thing about ASM is it actually learns your application and learns what good traffic is. So when you're talking about things like zero-day attacks where, you know, it's an unknown type of attack coming in, if it's not a traffic that we're expecting or your application's expecting, we can stop that as well. So very important. It operates in both the positive and negative security model. And, of course, we do things like mitigate the Layer 7 attacks, the top 10 from OWASP, pretty standard from that standpoint. AFM, this is our Advanced Firewall Manager. So this is our Layer 3, Layer 4 firewall. And this is kind of interesting when we're talking about Azure, we talk about networking, as was mentioned earlier. When you use the big IP up there, you can also use this as basically a central point of control for basically your east-west traffic as well as your north-south traffic. In other words, we're that Layer 3, 4 firewall. It works in many ways like NSGs do. And we can basically control traffic between your environments, going out, going inbound, all in the same box. Then last but not least in the applications or services that we're offering up in Azure is also our AAM. This is our Application Acceleration Manager. This is where we do things like WAN optimization. So say, for example, you as a customer have an integration with ExpressRoute through, say, Equinix. We can have big IPs, hardware or virtual, hosted in Equinix, which we actually are doing right now on a regular basis, and have a big IP up in Azure, and we can do things like synchronous optimization. So we can set up a tunnel basically and optimize between the two big IPs and get you the most bang for your buck bandwidth wise, whether for things like ExpressRoute, whether you're using an SSL VPN, what have you. As well as we do things like image minification, image deduplication, things like that from an asynchronous perspective. In other words, a mobile client coming in. Very cool stuff. So that's really, those are our top 6 services that we're offering up in Azure. And these are the ones that are available on-premise as well. We'll take a look at it real quick here from an end-user perspective. But very straightforward. And once again, I always point this out to our customers is that, you know, all this can be run on one device. Now, often our customers might spin up multiple big IPs to do this, but you can certainly run all these things from one device. And I actually have that running in our lab as well. So I did go through these services very quickly. I know we don't have much time, and I usually like to go a little more in depth, but by all means, if you have more questions after the fact, come back and see us or come back and talk to us. All right, so F5 Big IP in Azure. I just want to cover a few of our little technical specifications and limitations with regards to deploying in Azure. This is important for our existing customers mainly that are used to a certain level of experience on-premise, and when they migrate up, there's a couple things to take note of. But actually all for the better now. So once again, we are a big IP. We are a virtual machine that gets deployed up in Azure. We're a Linux-based box. So being a VM up there, we can take make use of a lot of the Azure infrastructure as well. So we can you know, make use of things like availability sets. I can deploy a pair of big IPs in availability set, so I have my HA and my big IPs. We can make use of actually Azure native load balancing in HA. In other words, it's very common to put a pair of big IPs behind an Azure load balancer, as strange as that sounds, to give you HA for the big IPs. We can do that, and we actually recommend that when we're talking about doing active-active pairs of big IP, once again, purely for availability. We operate in single NIC and now multi-NIC deployments, so we work very closely with the Azure networking team. As new enhancements come out to the Azure infrastructure, we make use of those as quick as possible. So once again, we initially were single NIC deployments. We do support multiple NIC deployments as well. When we are allowed to do multiple public IPs per interfaces, that's going to be coming very soon as well, and we will offer that as a service as well, which will basically bring extremely close parity to what we offer from an experience on-premise as well. And when I say that, it's typically because our customers that have used F5 for years on-premise typically have all their applications behind one big IP. When you're up in Azure, it's more of a consumption model and a per-app deployment type of model, where in other words, you put a big IP, essentially a virtual edition rather, in front of each application individually. Very common way to do it. With multiple public IPs coming out, that support for that, you'll be able to put all your Azure applications essentially behind a pair of big IPs in Azure as well. So some other things here. Once again, we work just like any other VM up there as far as Azure infrastructure, so we can make use of all the various resources. We can assign public IP addresses, obviously, to it, dynamic or static. As I mentioned, we're currently limited to one external IP. That's an Azure limitation, which is changing right now, very soon. It deploys very seamlessly, so you can deploy the big IP through the marketplace. Obviously, you can deploy the big IP via ARM templates using PowerShell, using CLI. We have a fairly large library of ARM templates that are coming up as well. We'll be having solution templates rolling out for these as well, so you'll be able to deploy very application-specific instances of the big IP, requiring very little end-user configuration. For example, we have our WAF here, as I mentioned, in Azure Security Center. This is in the marketplace as well, so you have the ability to deploy a big IP, which can be fairly complex to configure, but we can make it easy where you can deploy the big IP, essentially, once again, five or six questions, the big IP is up and running for you, no other configurations necessary. So that's coming, that's very cool stuff. Some other things I won't go into too much detail, but just things to make note of, once again, the instance throughput right now, it's throttled at 1 gigabit, you can increase that depending on the instance size from Azure you're selecting. And as I mentioned earlier, of course, multi-NIC is available as well, and we're doing a lot of deployments with multiple NICs. So the F5 Azure Security Center, I've mentioned this multiple times, but we're quite happy about this and getting a lot of customers deploying this right now. But we are in the Azure Security Center. Our WAF can be deployed very quickly. It gives you basically, essentially, cookie-cutter deployments that you can modify after the fact, but we're going to give you basically three levels of support. In other words, you can deploy a big IP with a very stringent policy or a big IP with a fairly limited policy, depending on your tolerance for false positives, false negatives, what have you. Once again, this is something that's available up there. We can deploy a big IP from the Security Center automatically, one or two instances at a time, so we can deploy an HA pair. And is currently BYOL, bring your own license. One important thing I like to point out right now with the big IP up in Azure, it's BYOL, which means you'll get your license, you apply to your big IP, you're up and running. We also have utility billing coming very soon. So utility billing is available as well in a short period of time, and that'll give you the ability to essentially just use the big IP as you need it on an hourly basis. Pretty much just like any other VM you might spin up in Azure. All right, that was me going through that slide deck very quickly because we're limited on time. So once again, though, if you have questions, come back and talk to us. And with that said, let's do a live demo. Because once again, I'm an engineer and I'm not a big slide guy. I love to do demos, so we're going to do a live one and see how it works. So let's take a look. So I'm going to bear with me here, set myself up.
While he's setting up, Dimitri is asking a question.
Yes.
We can can we get the X forwarded to get the source IP when you use Azure Load Balancers in front of the F5?
Absolutely. We do that
okay.
quite a bit. Very common. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay, perfect. So I was just going to say that if you guys hang around, we have a Q&A section at the end. So if we don't have the opportunity to answer as we go, we'll be able to do so later. Thanks. Yeah. And back to you, Greg.
Great, thank you. So here is my Azure subscription, well, one of my subscriptions. And kind of set this up, let's take a look. I'll go back to my slide deck and let you know or give you an overview of what we're looking at. So this is my demo environment. This is what we're running here. I currently have a deployment of an application. It's covering three areas. So I have a copy of it in Azure Europe, actually North Europe, Azure US East, and then my on-premise data center, which just happens to be right off campus in Redmond, Washington, on Microsoft campus. So I have the exact same copy running in three locations. And what we're going to do here is, from an end user perspective, we're going to kind of walk through and take, as I like to say, take a little tour around the globe here and hit those different sites and show you how the failover works and show you how our other various services work. So in this space right here, we have, we're using GTM or DNS to do our global load balancing. We have, of course, Local Traffic Manager to do our local traffic or load balancing of our web applications individually. We're using APM, and in this case, I'm using APM with SAML Federation, so my users are going to log on one time, regardless of where they're at. They're going to get access to their applications, and we're also going to be able to use that same logon to give them single sign-on access to Office 365, in this case, for our demonstration. As well, we are running Application Security Manager, in other words, our WAF. We're running a copy of that in front of all of our different applications. And we're also using Advanced Firewall Manager. So in my Azure East region, you'll notice over here, I have AFM running. I'm using that to control the routing in my environment there. So I'm using user-defined routing, or UDR, as well, and using our BIG-IP as that central point of control. In addition to that, you'll notice over here, hopefully you'll notice, we also have an SSL VPN, excuse me, an IPsec VPN tunnel set up between my Azure East region and my on-premise data center. So as I mentioned, we are also an IPsec gateway. We see customers deploy us in a couple of different ways in that case, where we have a BIG-IP on-premise connecting to the Azure VPN gateway. Certainly works great. We also will basically have BIG-IPs on both ends. As I mentioned before, if we want to really optimize the traffic, we can deploy a BIG-IP as a VPN endpoint up in Azure as well as on-premise. And those two handle the connections between the two. You do it any way it works for you, but we do support all different modes. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a little trip around the globe here and take a look at this application from an end-user perspective. So let me pull up the browser if I could here. So I'm going to get out of here. To start with, here's my applications. I'll log into my BIG-IP and take a look at it. So this is a BIG-IP that it's actually running up in Azure East. Log in. And hopefully people have seen F5 before, or our interface if you haven't. This is our interface. This is regardless of whether you're using an F5 Virtual Edition in Azure like we are here, or whether I'm using one of our 8U Vyprion chassis designed kind of for telcos and large enterprises. Regardless of which of those different modes you're using, your experience from an end user perspective is the exact same. In other words, this is the same interface I'm going to be using for a Vyprion as I'm going to use for a Virtual Edition, as I'm going to use for any piece of appliance in your premise or on-premise data center. Nice thing. Very important, especially as our customers are lifting and shifting their applications up. They like to keep that same experience from a management perspective and control perspective. Well, they have that ability, very common. So here's a BIG-IP. I'm not going to go too much into this, but essentially here's our virtual server. For all of us in our TMG days, this is equivalent to your listener. I have, once again, my on-premise application. I'm also doing GTM or DNS through here. I'm going to go into my DNS or my global services and take a look at my pool of actual services. So not only do I have a pool of my back-end web servers on this device, I also have a pool of my various big IPs spread out throughout the globe. Once again, Azure East, Azure Europe, and our on-premise big IP. They're all green, all looking good right now. As an example, on my on-premise big IP, exact same interface. Okay, so what we're going to do is, let's kind of start off with, we'll go to Azure East. So I'm going to simulate a failover. So I'm essentially going to disable a couple of my environments. Both the browser. Hopefully this will work, it's live. I'm going to bring over my phone. So I am using Azure MFA right now with my big IP as well. So we see I sign on here. It's single sign-on. I'm going to basically make sure my phone works. I'm going to provide multi-factor authentication with Azure MFA. I can certainly do this with other ones as well, RSA, Google OTP, what have you. Let's log in. And this site is live and hot, so people can actually go to it. Of course, you need the credentials, but that's okay. All right, let's do this. Open my browser. Some emails. Okay, so let's log in. There's my Azure MFA. And there we go. And I have logged in. And down here in the green, this is where I'm hitting. I'm naming Web Server 1 in my Azure East region. Pretty straightforward. Not much to it. Looks good. I'm going to go ahead and close out my browser. Let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and highlight these guys. Save them all. And let's jump to, let's go to Azure East, or excuse me, Azure Europe. So once again, I'm going to simulate a failover. This time I'm going to light up my Azure Europe. This is our default login screen. This is a customizable screen, so you can customize this with your own graphics, your own colors, what have you. Make it look exactly as you want it. Entirely up to you. This is our default. Log as a different user. And this one's going to require me providing a number. What is it? And there we go. And now you'll notice we've jumped from Azure US East, Azure Europe, same experience, same application, same sign-on page, just we're going to redirect you. In addition to that, I can go up here to Office 365 and click on a link. And my user, S user, will get automatically access to, in this case here, just Outlook. So we are, once again, we're a SAML 2.0 federated partner with Microsoft. We support SAML 2.0, OAuth coming as well. So we support with Office 365 and ModernAuth. We fully support the ModernAuth integration, so we can do single sign-on and federation to whether you're using Outlook in the form of OWA, whether you're using the FIC client, whether you're using Skype for Business, whether you're using SharePoint, we can provide that single sign-on access for that as well. All right, so let's close it out. We'll just do one more little trip here. Come back home. Guy. All right, so that's my on-premise environment here in Redmond. One more time. Short time on this one by design. Oops. Wait for it. Oh, I'm tying myself out. I'll try one more time. Type my password. password in correctly, which is possible. And as you notice, I'm back on-premise now, so this is my on-premise environment. Once again, I can do single sign regardless of where I connect in from. So if one of my sites down, the customers aren't going to be affected. They're going to be connecting in, no problem. There we go. In addition to that, and this is kind of just a very simplistic example, but we also, as I mentioned, where we have our WAF in front of all these applications as well. So if I click on my ASM here, all I do is basically essentially try to get to a text file here, and I have a blocker on text files through my policy. Let's just take a look at that to finish up. What's this look like in BIG-IP? Copy my actual support ID. Back to my environment here. And let's go to my on-premise BIG-IP. As I mentioned, regardless of whether this is on-premise, whether this is an 8U chassis, whether it's a virtual edition, whether it's up in the cloud, same user experience, same interface, same functionality is available to you. So let's take a look. This is my ASM. This is my Layer 7 WAF. Once again, I'm going to take a look at the reports. Just to give an example of this blocking here. Jump down here. I'm going to put my support ID in. There we go. This is basically going to give me a rundown of my violation. At this point, I can do things like I can learn. I can say, hey, actually, these text files are certainly fine. I can change my policy. I can see why it's blocked. Once again, this is a very simplistic example of a text file. Essentially, it gives you all kinds of information about what actually happened. In other words, illegal file type, legal URL link, things like that. Very programmable, programmatical, gives you the ability to do all kinds of reporting, all kinds of interesting stuff with the ASM, but once again, in a very simplistic deployment here, just showing you that it's essentially working. All right, with that said, I'm going to go ahead and enable the rest of my application. We should be good to go.
Okay, so thanks for that demo so far, Craig, but in the interest of time, I think if it would be possible to wrap up pretty soon, because I have another guest after. That's that's from our internal product team that I love him to walk our audience through a couple of scenarios as well.
Absolutely, and I at this point I'm actually done. So essentially that's it. Once again, up in Azure, by all means check us out. If you're interested in the evaluation versions, we can certainly hook up a license to try it out. And any questions, we'll be on the phone. So at the end of it, if you want to ask questions, we'll be here. Thank you very much. I will turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Greg, for that presentation. I hope you guys got great stuff out of it. So I will advance a couple slides because I have the same deck here. Hold on. I'll take over as a presenter. And, Telmo. From our product team should take over as a presenter. I'll bring you to the right slide, Telmo. If you want to get off mute, you're more
than...
Hey,
no problem.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Olivier. If you don't mind, I'm also just going to go ahead and present from my own screen.
Oh, no worries there. All right, feel free to take the screen.
Will do. So let me just share my screen with you guys.
So while we're waiting, Telmo is going to be walking us through. He's going to be going into details of advanced scenarios of what we're able to do with what we have today. And you know, we talked about VNet peering, and this will give you maybe an appreciation of what can be done with it, and advanced user defined routing scenarios that he's going to be walking us through. Could you get to okay? Are you okay? Cool. All right. So Telmo, It's your show now. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate that, Olivier. No problem, man. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for your time. I'll try to wrap this up in the next 10 minutes here, so we have a few minutes for Q&A at the end. And, you know, if need be, I'll come back at another session to go over some of the more details of what I want to talk about here today. But first of all, just a quick introduction. As Olivier said, I'm Tom Wilson Pyle. I'm a program manager in the Azure CAT team. Those of you who don't know Azure CAT, we're kind of the SWAT team for Azure. So when things are, you know, customers are really, really need help, we're the ones that go in and help them out. And from those engagements that we have, and I've had about 1,000 of those last year alone, we learn a lot of things, right? And we go back and we say, okay, what have we learned in the past few months that customers are doing that we could help them with? And we take that learning, and we have a separate team within Azure CAT called the Patterns and Practices, and that's the team that I'm part of. And we look at that and say, okay, let's create some guidance here that will help customers in the future avoid those roadblocks that we're seeing happen in real life, right? So we look at what customers are doing. We help them fix problems. We come up with guidance related to that. And everything we do is kind of what we refer to as proven practices. We actually did this at one or more customer sites, and it worked. And we kind of replicate that for the rest of the world, right? So really, the goal here is that when we create these things we call reference architectures, they're proven by customers. They provide what we call the golden path for those scenarios, which is a set of recommendations that say, hey, if you configure your environment this way, it will work for this thing that we're trying to do. But by the way, consider also doing these other things here that will add to your monitoring capabilities or your security. So we talk about those other considerations as well. More than that, we make sure that each and every one of those reference architectures, they come with some kind of artifact to allow you to deploy that reference architecture and test it yourself. And we're doing that today using ARM templates, right? So we're providing a set of ARM templates for each one of those reference architectures that can be reused. And I'm going to share with you the link that we have to this reference architectures. There's more than what you see on the screen right now. We actually have two new reference architectures on identity that we just went public last week. And we have three more reference architectures on reliability in Azure that also came out last week. But this is kind of the list of those reference architectures. And I'm going to zoom into some of those here. Oops, sorry. Messing up here. Sorry, my bad. I was seeing things clicking. I was trying to see if there's anything on IAM. I'll look at this later.
And guys, as a reminder, this deck will be posted online. I've have the slides of all the presenters, so you'll be able to have the hyperlinks to all of that stuff.
Absolutely, right. And before I go into these reference architectures with you guys, first thing that I want to say is, they kind of follow a certain learning path. We start customers by saying, hey, you want to spin up a single VM in Azure? That's fantastic. Here's how this should be done. And that moves to a multi-VM workload, a multi-tier workload, multi-tier workloads in different regions with disaster recovery. And then we say, hey, that's all great. How do I connect this to on-prem? So that's where the networking comes in with VPN, with ExpressRoute, with both for high availability. How do I create a DMZ between my Azure workloads and my on-premises network? How do I create a DMZ between my Azure workloads and the internet? So we go through all those different environments. How do I add identity to this? And this just builds up and up from there, right? So you end up with very complex scenarios. But one of the learnings that we had that brought in and brand new product to our team as well, was as we're building these architectures, we found out there's a lot of repetition. So this is, for instance, a multi-tier architecture where I have a front-end tier, a business tier, a data tier. We have a management subnet in there as well that we use with a jump box to actually go in and access those VMs and some monitoring capabilities. This is connecting that to on-prem. And this last one here is a much more complex environment where I have that same workload, but I'm also using ADFS in here. So I have Active Directory, I have ADFS servers, I have ADFS proxy servers, all being accessed through a GMZ. And we looked at this and we said, hey, as we're doing this, we're repeating some of the same things over and over and over. Every single one of these architectures has a set of VMs are just sitting there by themselves in some way, shape, or form. All of them have a collection of VMs that are sitting behind a load balancer, whether that's an internal load balancer or an external load balancer. Most of those architectures have some kind of connectivity, whether that's a VPN connectivity or an express route connection. A lot of those have DMZs, whether that's a DMZ that just separates my workload from on-prem or my workloads from the internet. They all have those things. And we keep repeating and doing those things over and over and over again. What can we do to make this easier? And we created this thing we call building blocks or ARM template building blocks that actually provide that functionality. I have a building block, for instance, for GMZ, where I basically have a parameter file that I say, hey, this is going to be a GMZ with a public endpoint. I need 3 network virtual appliances in it. And it's going to be on this network. Go do your magic. And the building block creates all necessary components, availability sets, VMs, NICs, configures the NICs. Right now, those network virtual appliances, think of them in this case as your firewalls, right? They're just basic Ubuntu images running IP forwarding. And what we want to do next is we want to talk to partners like F5 that was just here and others to say, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we could create environments like this using your appliances in there? All right, so that's really the next step for this building blocks. But what I want to do is I want to, we have a few minutes, I want to just show you some of those reference architectures that use those building blocks and show you what I mean by having an environment that you can deploy and test. Right? And like Olivier said, we will make available the links to all of this. But before we do that, let me show you some of them. So the main, I got to learn how to move a window to a different monitor, apparently. Haven't taken that lesson yet. There we go. All right, so one link that I want you to know of is aka.ms/architecture. That's really just an index page, if you think of it. It's exactly what we saw in one of my slides that has a list of all of our reference architectures. And let's go down into one of these here. Let me get the Azure Active Directory, extending Active Directory to Azure, right? Let me take a look at that architecture really quick. So all of our reference architectures, they have a little diagram here that shows you what it is that we're trying to deploy. We explain what it is in a little bit and say, hey, you know, imagine that you have your own workloads in Azure, you're trying to provide identity services, you have Active Directory on-prem, you're extending that to Azure, so you're bringing in some of the main controllers into Azure. And this one has those different DMZs that we talked about, one between Azure and the internet, one between Azure and your on-prem connection. All right. We have those recommendations that I mentioned. These are the things that you should do, the settings that we know that if you follow them, you're going to have a working environment that is reliable and secure. These are some of the other things that you can do, the considerations that we have for availability, security, scalability, management, monitoring. And then finally, we have a deployment section that provides you all the different scripts and templates to deploy that environment. And when I talk about scripts and templates, we have everything's done through ARM templates, but we have scripts to kick off those ARM templates. And we create them both in PowerShell and Bash. So whether you are a Windows user or a Linux user, you can take advantage of those templates. Another thing that we do is that our workloads are also by operational system, if you want to call it that. All of our workloads can be deployed to Linux VMs or Windows VMs. Right. So we have both versions of the world in there in each one of those RAs. Right. And, you know, once you deploy, this is an example of that RA deployed already in my Azure portal. Right. Most of the time we try to create things as a single resource group. sometimes we have to break it down, especially for management purposes. So in the more complex arrays, like the Active Directory one, we actually have a resource group for all the networking components, a resource group for all the security components, my DMZs, a resource group for the workload, and then we have a resource group for actually Active Directory itself. And we simulate on-prem with its own resource group that you see here, right, that has a connection to my, what would be my Azure side of the business, right? So basically that's what we give you the documentation, the scripting, the templates to get that environment up and running so you can play with it and see what it's like. Now, one of the things that we are doing in here that's a little controversial from what a lot of customers say is we're showing you how to use network virtual appliances in kind of a high available scenario, right? And some of you are probably looking at this and having questions in your head. How do you do that? What are the limitations? We know that we can't fully do that. And some NVAs do support high availability on their own. So let me just show you another piece of guidance that we have that we're working on right now and that should come out. Actually, it's public today, the guidance itself, but we're building a solution around it that should come out in the next few weeks. Actually, we have a running prototype today. It starts being used internally next week. And then we have about 4 weeks between that and a public release. But we created guidance on how you deploy virtual appliances in high availability. This is available today. It is limited to certain types of appliances. It's something that will work with layer 7 virtual appliances, right? So basically WAPs, right? So this should work with F5, although I never tried. It works with generic Ubuntu NVAs that we are testing. I would work with some other partners as well to test their environment. So basically in this document, we talk about some of the challenges with using a network virtual appliance. The main one being, it's great. It provides all that security that we used to on-prem. We're bringing it into Azure, but it does introduce a single point of failure, right? If that NVA is down, you lose your connectivity. So what can we do? And we have a few options in here. One of them is, okay, let's talk about ingress. With ingress, if I have some layer 7 appliances, I can put them behind a firewall, a load balancer, and have only certain ports open. And that will allow traffic to flow in a highly available manner. And also, since those are layer 7 we can have session affinity on, the responses will go back through the same virtual appliance and it will get out to the internet. But that's only ingress. It doesn't solve the problem of those VMs trying to go to the internet and going through a virtual appliance as well. To do that, unfortunately today, we need a separate stack of NVAs. So this becomes very expensive. You go in and say, you know what? I'm looking at this demo. There's a DMZ for public, a DMZ for on-prem. There's a DMZ for egress. It's at least 6 network virtual appliances here per region. That's a lot of stuff. What can we do to solve this? And a lot of partners are doing this today already in their own solution, just using 2 NVAs where you have an active-passive mode, and that active NVA is the one that is receiving all the connections, has a PIP, the UDRs are pointing to it, so it can have the egress going through it as well. And then you have some kind of a service monitoring that active NVA so that once it's no longer responding, it switches that PIP and those UDRs to the passive NVA, and that takes over. So this document explains what that solution is like. We're actually now building that as a service that will ship until we are able to provide a better solution. And that service is basically going to be composed of a set of virtual machines, really containers running ZooKeeper, that will be used to monitor those NVAs and automatically make that change independent of what type of NVA you're using, right? So that's what we're working on. I'd love to show this to you, but unfortunately, we just ran out of time right now. I promise to come back and actually show the proof of concept to you at a later time and show you an example of that, of the actual service once it's up and running.
Awesome.
So if I don't leave you here, I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Telmo. Thank you very much, Greg. We're a little bit out of time here, but if people want to hang around a little bit and ask ask questions, feel free. I've unmuted the audience, so if you guys want to ask a question, feel free to do so. Anybody has a question to ask to our teams? Going once. The links will be published probably early next week. It's going to be saved, and then we have to update the blog post, some internal stuff we're doing here in Microsoft. It's a one day or two, but that should be around. So, well, if there is no more questions, then we'll thank you guys for having been here. We're super happy that you take time with us, and enjoy your Friday afternoon or Friday morning, depending on which time zone you're in, and enjoy your weekends. Thank you, guys.